Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWolvesOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Well, good evening, CFL fans. It's a little bit of a gong show here at the moment as Blog Talk is being, well, it's being Blog Talk because we have been trying to get CJ on the line for the last 10 minutes or so, and it's not working well. But as they say in show business, and I guess we technically count as show business, the show must go on. So that's what we're going to do, and hopefully maybe we can get in touch with CJ, maybe not. We've been trying, but it hasn't been working. So, anyways, good evening and welcome to the show tonight. Charles Cliff talking here from my personal studio here in Abbotsford, B.C. Welcome to Let's Talk CFL, episode number 495. We're getting close to that big number 500. Well, 5 weeks away, so I can't believe we've been on for 5 weeks. Sorry about the phone there. We're just going to do this here. Well, we've got phones ringing, so that's always a good sign, or maybe it's not a good sign. I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign. Well, the call dropped, so it's a bad sign because we still don't have CJ. But we do have Will McDonald on the line here, so we're going to have to bring him in here so I'm not sitting here rambling to myself. Don't know if CJ is going to make it on tonight or not. He's having some issues with his phone. I'm not sure exactly what the issue is, but maybe we'll be able to get it figured out, and maybe not. But we do have Will. He'll be able to come on. So let's bring in Will. Good evening, Will. Good evening, Will.
I just thought I'd scare you for 5 seconds that it wasn't on.
Oh, so, yeah, that was not funny at all.
I thought it was
okay, that's
funny.
Good.
Anyway,
no, well,
anyway.
I'm thinking here, am I doing this solo tonight? Because first
DJ,
we don't get him, and I'm going to have to talk for 2 hours by myself, which,
by myself.
You know, I could probably do it. But you know what? I don't think people would enjoy that all that much.
People,
and this Blog Talk thing is confusing me because it's showing that CJ is on the line, though, when he's not. So it's kind of confusing.
Oh,
now you're
there.
He appears.
You finally
took
your phone off of mute or what?
I figured it out. Oh, I didn't figure it out. I got online, so I'm not going to try to figure it out. I am not going to fuck with it. I'm just going to continue. Are we okay with that?
Yeah,
okay.
That would be good. Like, I called you like 8 times, and it just did the same thing over and over again.
Oh, I know. And we tried a few different things, and I figured something out. I think it was a weak Wi-Fi signal. I'm not sure. But anyhow, we're here. Okay? So does that mean we continue on? I don't know. The only thing I want to rant about right now is a fucking piece of shit that Blog Talk is. But it doesn't do anybody any good because they're not going to do it. So what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? Let's talk about some football because that's kind of what's going on. So, Charles, how are you doing? You survived this? You're okay? I didn't stress
you
out too much?
Oh, no. I was ready to do it if you were there or not. So we're good.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you know, if I get hit by a bus or something, that you guys can keep going and at least until my MasterCard dies and you don't have the show anymore. But you've got the logins. Both of you have got the logins, so you can always go in and change the credit card numbers and you can continue on.
Yeah. Mine logs in.
I don't have the login. I don't have login anymore. You got to re-give it to me so I can make sure that I can do this if anything happens. Because guess what, CJ? I do have a MasterCard, too. So, it works.
What's that?
I said I do have a MasterCard as well. It works.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, you could put it in there if you want. I don't mind.
Okay. But I just thought maybe, you know, you're independently wealthy, so and your wife doesn't track your bank account like mine does. So, just saying.
Yeah. Well, she does not.
No,
I kind of
so.
Track her, and
yeah,
it
okay.
does me no good at all because I can't say a thing about it because she'll just slap me.
Yeah, I get that.
So
I get that.
Anyhow. So what we're gonna do? Do I start over, or do we keep going, or what do you from now, man? Because this has been.
Well, no, I was
Christopher,
I was gonna say you would have appreciated this. Charles asked me to come on, and I was silent for about 20 seconds. He thought
yeah.
he was gonna have to
I heard
himself,
the end of
okay?
that.
I thought that was pretty funny. Anyways, just saying.
It was very funny. I was laughing. I don't
okay.
think he was, but that's okay.
No. But I'm pretty sure Charles
so
could talk for 2 hours himself. Sorry to kind of go ahead. You can do it.
Did you do any
interview
on this, Charles? Or?
Yeah, he did.
Not really, because, a little bit. I mean, the intro did play through, but then I was just kind of rambling about how I wasn't able to get in touch with you.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do this. This is the Let's Talk CFL podcast, episode number 495. We're five more away from 500, guys. Five shows from 500. Wow, pretty cool. We'll get there before Labor Day. So that's pretty exciting.
Yep, that's true.
Yes, I'm coming to you from the cab of my F-350 like I normally do, and that's a wonderful thing. I got the air conditioning on and my feet on the dash and just kind of hanging out. I'm looking at my wounds on my knee right now. They're healing up quite nicely. Swelling is still too big, but oh well. Shit happens. So there's a lot that happened in the CFL since the games last weekend. And we have not yet had opportunity to talk about any of it, and we are going to do that tonight at length. So that's a wonderful thing. And I'd like to leave anything to do with Marino until after we talk about all the games. Is that okay with you guys?
Well, yeah, we typically do that anyway. So, but, yeah, I know that's fine with me.
It's going to be really hard not to say anything about it during the game, during the thing, but we're going to do it anyhow. So we're going to go over last week's picks. I'm still kind of fucked up with Sparky and his spreadsheets. I worked on them and worked on them, and I couldn't get them to do what I wanted them to do. So maybe he could just send me a PDF with, like, 16 font number 16, not 11, okay? Not those young punk eyes, Sparky. You might be able to see font size 11. I can't. I want 16 or bigger. I prefer 20. Okay, so anyhow, the first game last week, because there was only three games, was Calgary into Edmonton. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My echo just went away. How did that happen?
I don't know, but it is gone. I had an echo too, but it's gone too now, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Maybe we'll put his thing on mute, and I don't know why that would do that. But anyhow, Calgary into Edmonton. The 49ers just kind of mollywopped Edmonton. It was not even a game. It was nothing about a game. I'm not even sure it was football. But it was 2 points for the Calgary Stampeders, that's for sure. Chris Jones is challenging me in all aspects of what he's doing over there. Now, granted, his new little stud quarterback, Trey Smith, got injured on, what, the fourth or fifth play of the game or something like this?
Very early, yep.
And he was gone for the game, and we don't know for how long. Obviously, he's gone for the next game because they put Cornelius Fudge in as the quarterback. Come on. It was a little bit of a joke. Did you know who that is?
I don't. I was wondering who that was. Cornelius Fudge?
He's the minister of magic in Harry Potter.
Okay, I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, personally. I've
really?
Seen a couple of the movies,
really?
But I don't know. I just never got into it.
They're probably the best written piece of literature that I've ever read. J.K. Rowling is amazing at writing books. She is fabulous. There's a lot of authors out there that are really famous and can't write worth shit. She can write. They're absolutely awesome books. So anyhow,
maybe I should
if you
read
have
the
a
book
chance,
first.
Sure. Oh, way better than the movies.
Oh, okay.
Books are way better than the movies. Always are. All books are better than the movies.
That's
anyhow,
true.
Anyhow, so what is it? Taylor Cornelius is the guy's name, right?
Yeah, Taylor Cornelius.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Taylor Cornelius is going to be the starting quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos. So after Trey Smith got injured, what's his name? Nick Arbuckle came in and played the remainder of the game and did absolutely nothing. So at the end of this game, they traded him to
they're like,
Ottawa
we're getting rid of you.
For a bag of hammer handles. We're getting rid of who? Will?
The elk said they got rid of. Arbuckle.
He's gone. And what did they get? They got a fourth round draft pick for him. Might as well have got a bag of hammer handles or footballs or something because it was basically worthless. Yeah, I know. What's his name? Nuts. Where Tom Brady got taken in the seventh round or something, didn't he? Anyhow. Not the point. This was just a brutal game. It was just an absolute mollywhopping. Calgary did nothing wrong. They just kept playing football. I don't know how you can look good when you're playing Edmonton. I think everybody's going to look good when they're playing Edmonton. And you know what? I respect Chris Jones as a coach, not so much as a GM, but as a coach. At the beginning, I thought he was just throwing games away so that he could, you know, figure out what player he wants in what position. Like he was an extended preseason, so to speak. But, you know, we're in week six now. If you don't get your shit together, you're looking at the backside of the playoffs, that's for sure. And they're going to have to win a lot of games to get ahead of Saskatchewan to make that crossover. I mean, it can be done, but I don't know. Don't have a lot of faith in Edmonton right now. What was your take on the game there, Charles?
Well, it was men against boys, really. I mean, first of all, this game took forever to play because they kept having weather, like lightning delays and stuff like that. So it was really... It was a long game. It took forever to play. And when they were playing, it wasn't much of a game. It was pretty much one-sided right from the beginning, and it got worse. And sometimes you hope when a team's getting beaten and then they get a long weather delay that maybe they can use that to their advantage. But honestly, Edmonton was worse after the after the weather delay. So it really was not a good game. It wasn't competitive at all. It was a really good team against a really bad team, and normally when that happens, it gets a blowout, and once again, Edmonton gets blown out, not quite to the extent that they got blown out in week one by BC, but pretty damn close. So there's nothing encouraging about this whatsoever for Edmonton. And Calgary, I mean, you didn't really have a whole lot of resistance. It was almost like a glorified scrimmage for this team because they, quite frankly, just walked all over them.
100%. Okay, Will, take your thing off mute right now and go ahead and tell us what you thought about your team killing Edmonton.
Well, I expected them to kill Edmonton. To be honest with you, I only watched the first half because there was a rain delay right after the first half, and it was 9 o'clock, and I can't stay up late at night because it got delayed for an hour. So I went to bed, and then the next morning I got up, and I didn't set my PVR for the second half of the game. So I did see highlights, and the second half was no different than the first half. Calgary dominated. Edmonton was horrible. I don't think Nick Arbuckle is as bad as we think he is, but I think that team is as bad as we think it is. And I am shocked by that because, at the very least, Chris Jones usually has a good defense. And he obviously doesn't have that. He doesn't have a good offense. He doesn't have good special teams. He doesn't have a lot of anything. My big question is, this week, we know Cornelius is the starting quarterback. Who's the second string? Anybody know?
Well, yeah, it would have to be the other guy that's there.
He's hurt.
Yeah, no, they have somebody else.
Okay.
They had a third quarterback in the game the other night, and it wasn't
His name was Salisbury or something. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, that's right, too. I know who you're talking about. Okay. That's who the second
So they do have a – I think they have five quarterbacks.
Yeah. Five quarterbacks on the team and five in a house somewhere. So –
Yeah,
and maybe,
something like that.
I've heard rumors that he's bringing in what's his face? The receiver. Come on, help me here. He was a receiver. He's bringing Daron Carter in to play quarterback as well.
Oh.
So you never know.
No.
So,
has he even been playing?
No. But he is signed to the Elks, right?
He's on the roster. That's why I ask if he's been playing or not.
I don't think he's been playing. Is he hurt or is he just
not
playing?
I have not heard his name this year. Not since he
signed. No, I haven't either. Neither have I. You've heard Manny Arsenault's name more than you've heard Daron Carter's.
Oh, yeah. Manny's playing. Not well, but he's playing. What am I sitting on? Oh, there it is. Okay, something uncomfortable. Okay, so, not much more to say about this game, so let's get to the juicy parts. The final score was 49-6, and it was 49-3 at one point, wasn't it? Didn't they just score the last 3 points late in the game or something? Because it was embarrassing.
I believe something
right
like that, yeah.
Yeah, Edmonton got 3 points in garbage time. Ooh, whoopee.
Yep.
Most embarrassing. So total 55 points for the two teams. Charles, you took Calgary at 47. You got 126. Will, you took Calgary at 52. Good call, buddy. 136. CJ called Calgary at 42. So we 116. And then the Rudy guy who came in late with his scores, almost nailed it at 57, off by 2 points, 138. Good job, Rudy. Too bad you missed the entire previous week, or you'd have good score. The second game was one that we're going to talk the most about this week, but it was Ottawa and Saskatchewan. Charles, are you hearing the echo? Because if you are, Will, can you mute?
I'm hearing a little bit of one.
I don't hear.
Let's see.
Okay. Did you
mute
him?
Yeah, I don't hear an echo. I didn't mute him, no.
Yeah.
But I'm not hearing the echo anymore, that's for sure.
No, the echo went away. So, Will, if you're controlling your mic, you come on in whenever you want. Yes, yeah, cool. But I appreciate this. Thank you. So the second game was the Ottawa Red Blacks into Regina to play the Rough Riders. And this game got ugly. And Ottawa didn't really put up much resistance, in my opinion. They played a decent game of football, but it wasn't that good. It wasn't spectacular, and it certainly wasn't enough to keep up with the Rough Riders. So I believe Ottawa was the best team in the East last week, and that if they can barely keep – they can't keep up with Saskatchewan, there isn't an Eastern team out there worth a pinch of coon shit. So they're just not. And Ottawa is not as strong this week as they were last week. They lost their quarterback for the season. I'm saying it the season because I can't see it being anything else. So, yeah, it was it was just a lot of dirty shit going on in this game. None of it was good. And, Will, come on in. You talk about this game first. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, you know what? it was a pretty unspectacular game as far as I was concerned. Saskatchewan looked good, but they're playing Ottawa, and I still don't. And regardless of how good they are, I'll never say that Saskatchewan's good. Cody Fajardo had an okay game, but Ottawa kind of stunk the place out, to be honest with you. They just didn't seem to be into it, and they didn't look good. They just didn't look good. So, I mean, I hate when Saskatchewan wins, as always, right? So do we all.
Yep.
I hate when when people think Cody Fajardo is a good quarterback, because he's not. But, hey, they won. And you know, there's a whole bunch more I want to say about this game, but we'll do that later.
We're really talking about three different plays in this game that were late in the game. So that's what we're going to focus on later on. But the rest of the game really was insignificant, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, the echo's gone. Will, you can...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I'm muted now.
Okay,
now
Charles,
I'm not muted.
Charles. Yeah, there's just there's no echo. I'm not hearing it, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Charles, what's your take on this game?
It was kind of a sloppily played game. Neither team really looked good. The Riders, you know, they had the lead most of the time, but they weren't, like, blowing them out. They weren't running roughshod over them. Ottawa was just kind of hanging around. They weren't getting blown out, but they had chances to come back in this game and lead this game. They just didn't take them. And then once, of course, Mazzoli goes down with the injury, any chance of them coming back, because they weren't super far down. They were still somewhat in reach when that happened. But once he went down, that was pretty much the end of the ball game. So, and then, of course, it all deteriorated into hell. We're going to go into that a little bit later. But, yeah, I mean, just every team in the East right now looks just so mediocre. I mean, they look like they're only going to win games against teams in their own in division, because it just seems once they come up against anyone in the West, they get clobbered. So it's the East is not strong at all.
To say they look mediocre is really a push, Charles.
That's probably generous.
Yeah, yeah. I think
the East looks like crap. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
That's probably more accurate.
100% they do. They look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two ways about it. You can't sugarcoat that one. They just look like shit.
This year actually it might be a little early, but this one actually looks and kind of feels like we could get the crossover and have an all-West Grey Cup, because quite frankly, these Eastern teams just look lousy.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but let's look at the Western teams right now with the four that are actually playing football, which are Winnipeg, Calgary, BC, and Saskatchewan. There's not an Eastern team that can beat them.
No Eastern team's gonna beat any of those guys.
It's not the way things are going. And you know what? That would be fun. I would love to see an All-West Grey Cup, because it really could happen. All-West. So The final score on this was Saskatchewan 28, Ottawa 13. So that was 41 total points. Charles took Ottawa at 49. You're off by 8, so you got 26. Will, you took Ottawa with 36. You were off by 5. Is that right? Yeah, you're off by 5. You got no points for the thing, so you got 32 points. CJ took Ottawa as well at 42. I came with 1. Sorry. I was out by 1 point. I got 40 points. And Rudy picks Saskatchewan. He's not really a Bomber fan, is he? I don't believe he's a Bomber fan. A, he doesn't pick the Bombers all the time. And B, he picks Saskatchewan. He picks Saskatchewan at 53. He was off by 12. He gets 118. The third game and final game, because there was only 3 this week, was Winnipeg 43. Oh, sorry. Winnipeg came into BC. They were both undefeated teams. Winnipeg was 4-0. BC was 3-0. We had a lot of faith in BC Lions coming forward into this game, but that did not materialize quite the way that we wanted. The first three series of this game, BC was down 21 points, 21-0. There was a kickoff return for touchdown. There was an interception that went in for a touchdown. And then what was the third thing? Was it another interception or something else? It just like Winnipeg just put the ball in the end zone. It was pathetic. It's like 10 minutes into the game and they're down by 21 points. And it didn't get any better. I mean, I respect the Lions for the way they continue to play. And that kid, what are they calling him? Kid Canada now? Nathan Rourke. Here comes the echo back. What did you do different, Will?
Not a thing.
Anyhow.
Not a thing.
Wow, that's kind of weird.
And I hear no echo whatsoever.
It's only when I talk, and then it comes back like almost 10 seconds later, it says exactly what I said. So if it's not happening, it's not happening. It's kind of gone again, so I'm okay with that. So Winnipeg dominated this game right off the bat. But like I said, Nathan Rourke kept playing. I mean, he threw a 61-yard touchdown strike. I mean, that's not a person who's given up. He played football to the final whistle, and he honestly believed that he could do it. And, good on him. But he ended up with 3 interceptions on the night, which was not good.
2.
Gave Winnipeg... Was it only 2? I thought he did another
only
one
2.
In the third or in the fourth.
There was okay. 1, but that was thrown by Michael O'Connor.
Okay. That's what it was. Where was I going with this? I don't know. He just kept coming back. If you kept giving Winnipeg a short field, when Winnipeg gets a short field, Zach Caleros is going to put the ball in the end zone. That's just a fact. Okay, so, yeah, it was not a good game. I mean, it was a good game. It wasn't a bad game. It sucks when you get behind for no real fault of your own, but it wasn't good. And, you know, there's a bunch of people saying there was a hold on that opening kickoff. It should have been called back. But I'm not going to play that fucking game. You know what?
Nope.
Special teams is supposed to stop this guy, and they didn't, and I'm not going to whine and cry about a penalty. Good game for the Bombers. I'm happy for them. Honestly believe that this is one of the best things that could have happened to BC because they got their first loss over with. They got themselves smacked aside the head. And they got a bye week in here so that they can think about what happened. And I almost don't want the bye week. They should have been able to come back out and fight like hell. But they're going to do that next week. And God help Hamilton, because BC's going to be pissed off. So, Charles, your team, you were at the game.
I was.
Needless to say, I was very disappointed at how it went because the season, it seemed like the Bombers took back the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and that really rocked the Lions right off because they were not it took them forever to get back. They were back on their heels right from the word go. And by the time pretty much most people were in their seats, they were down 21-0. And to be down 21-0 against a team like the Bombers is not in the least a recipe for success. So they really had they tried to come back. Hey, they tried their damnedest. The Lions did the back-to-back touchdown drive late in the first half, and they made the 24-point lead down to 10, but the Bombers were just too strong. They were just too they're too dominant a team, and they, when they get on a roll, they are like a they're a machine, and there was no chance they were not coming, that the Lions were really going to come back. They tried their best, but it was really a lost cause right from the word go by that time. So.
You remember first week of the year, Hamilton was up, I think it was the first week, was up 24-0 on Calgary.
Yep.
Right? And Calgary came back and absolutely stormed on them. That might have been the second week. And actually stomped on them really badly. And ended up winning the game. And everybody's going, oh, my God, how did Hamilton blow a 24-point lead? Well, if BC was playing Hamilton and was down by 24 points, they would have come back and beat them in that game. But it was because they were playing the Bombers, they were not able to come back and beat them. It was just, insurmountable. It was a big hill to climb, and the Bombers are just, they're a good team. Let's just face facts. Bombers, are they the best in the league? That's yet to be decided. But they are one of the powerhouses, without question. They're in the top three. And, shit happens. Okay, I'm going to open Will's mic. I closed his mic for a bit because I don't know what he was making lots of noise. Sorry, Will. What do you think of this game?
Well, I mean, if anybody expected any kind of a different outcome, they were kind of kidding themselves, because let's face it, the Bombers have won the last 2 years in a row, sort of, and BC is a pretty new team, especially with Nathan Rourke. So, I mean, if anything, it was a good measuring stone for BC, and they know where they have to get better, okay?
Yes.
And... 100%. You cannot be down to the Bombers by 21 points, okay? Because you're not going to come back. Their defense
you're
is too good. Their defense is too good. And to be honest with you, that is one of the top five games I've ever seen Zach Collaros play. He was fantastic.
He was a good game.
He was accurate beyond accurate. And... he was also running all over the place, and they couldn't fucking catch him. And when he's like that, and he's throwing on the run, he's unstoppable, I'm sorry. And I don't care what team you are, okay? So it is what it is. And we knew BC was going to lose sometime this year. And we knew Nathan Rourke was going to lose sometime this year. It was only a matter of when. And... if they can improve off of that, because they say you learn more in a loss than you do in a win, then more power to
you.
Once again, it was only week five. There's a whole lot of season left to go.
You know, and the Bomber fans are like jumping up and down, throwing this in our faces and everything else. And I'm going like, dude, anybody who thought that BC or Winnipeg was going to go undefeated this year is completely delusional. Calgary might do it because Will says they will.
That's okay.
Will is delusional. The S-Fitness as I've met him. But so yeah, BC had to lose. Did they lose to Winnipeg? Fine. I don't know how many times we play Winnipeg this year.
I mean,
but we can lose every single time. I don't give a shit as long as we beat them in the Western Final.
Everybody lost to Winnipeg thus far.
I'm pretty sure right now Winnipeg is the best team in the CFL. And they showed
it
the other night.
We have to call it that.
Okay? So,
right.
But it is only week six coming up. So,
yeah.
I want to see him play Calgary. I want to see him play Saskatchewan. Right? I mean, let's face facts. These are the only four teams that matter in the CFL right now. And, you know, when they start playing each other, we're going to find out what happens.
That's correct.
I mean, BC's
got
to play Calgary. We need that measuring stick, right? We need to play Saskatchewan. We need to see what's going on, right? You can't just beat up on Eastern teams and say you're great.
I'm sorry.
You don't get better.
You don't get better by playing Eastern teams.
No.
No. No. And that's who Calgary's beat up on. That's who Winnipeg is beat up on. That's who BC is beat up on. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, Montreal is the only team that beat a Western team, and I think they beat Saskatchewan, didn't they?
Yeah, but don't give Calgary credit. They've played a Western team twice now. Oh, sorry. We're still calling Edmonton a team, right?
They're Eastern caliber.
I heard that Chris Jones had petitioned the CFL to have them move to the Eastern Division because then they could be competitive.
Absolutely.
Well, right now the Eastern teams are the only ones that Edmonton's going to beat the way they're playing, and even at that, they might be sketchy.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be able to beat
I don't
the
know
Eastern
if they...
Teams.
Well, here's the worst thing for me. Here's the worst thing for me. Eastern teams have how many wins now? Two? Is that correct? Or three?
Total?
Two, I think it is. Yeah.
No.
What do they got?
It might be, but they've only got one win against a Western team.
No, I'm talking total. What do they have? One win, two wins?
I don't know. I can't get out of Blog Dog.
Oh, okay. Don't try. You might hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Or you might not get back on.
I believe Toronto's the only Eastern team to have won a game at this point. And they beat Montreal.
Montreal has won a game.
Montreal beat Saskatchewan. So I think there's two wins total for the East.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so
we're going into
week six.
That's what I said.
There is two wins total. You know what the scariest thing is, guys? One of these four teams is going to make the Grey Cup. That's the scariest thing.
No, not necessarily this year. It may not.
They're
going to
make the
Grey
Cup. The crossover never works. They're going to make the Grey Cup. One of these four teams, as pathetic as they are going to make the Grey Cup. And I think it's time, I think it's time we start talking about one division.
No. We'll talk about that later in the show if you want to.
Yeah,
we're
I know.
We're not talking about
it
right now.
But I'm talking about CFL in general. It's time they start talking about it.
I think there's something that has to be done other than that. And let's finish this game wrap up here. Okay. Winnipeg Blue Bombers spanked the BC Lions 43-22. For a total of 65 points. Now, that was the most amount of points scored. No, it wasn't. BC Edmonton game was more, 74. Okay, 65. And that was actually the same score that BC and Ottawa were at. Okay, so Charles took BC at 55. He was off by 10. You got 22 points. Okay, because you didn't pick Winnipeg. Will, you picked Winnipeg. You're off by 21. You got 100. You're too far away.
Yep.
CJ took BC at 42. I was too far away, and I was wrong.
You got
Rudy
to
took
that.
Winnipeg at 40. Yeah. Winnipeg took Rudy took Winnipeg at 44. He was off by 21. He got no point, 100, but no more extra. Okay, so anyhow, let's wrap this up real quick. So week five went this way. CJ got 156, Charles 174, Will 268, and Rudy 356, which was still not very good considering he got a zero last week. So the standings so far are CJ is in the lead at 1,822. Charles is 1,728. Will's at 1,471. And Rudy's at 1,260. Now, I want you guys to know something here, that CJ's 1,822 points puts him in fifth place overall in the Let's Talk CFL Pick'em Pool. And there's 36 people in there, I guess. So I got fifth place. And that little shithead Sparky's in second place right now. I just thought I'd share that one with you, okay? So, and we're going to get to Sparky in a little bit. But Sparky, yeah, we got to do something about this Excel spreadsheet. It didn't work for me. It kind of did, but it ended up being on three pages. It's a bit of a joke. Okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to do one division or you want to do Garrett Marino?
No. We got to pick this week's games.
Oh, we got to do picks. We got to do picks.
That's probably a good
idea.
Where's
my scorecard? That's my scorecard. I don't even know what fucking games are playing. Okay, the games are going to be Edmonton into Montreal. Ooh. Could this be Edmonton's first victory? No. Calgary into Winnipeg. Two undefeated teams. Saskatchewan into Toronto. Playing the Argos, and Ottawa into Hamilton. That's going to be a tough game to pick. Okay, let's see where we are right now. The CFL pick'ems. We got those eight, is it eight, two, four, six, oh, six reporters. Everybody put Montreal Alouettes to win this game over Edmonton. Every single one of them. And let's see what happens. Bodog has Montreal by 8 with an over-under of 49. And the CFL pick'em trend is 88% for Montreal. Okay. We do not have picks for Rudy. Charles, what are you going to do?
I hate to be picking a Western or Eastern team to beat a Western team, but to be honest, I can't honestly pick Edmonton to beat anyone right now. They look like a train wreck. They're starting Taylor Cornelius, who... quite frankly, I saw him play last year and he did nothing to impress me. So I am not high on him. I don't think he's any kind of upgrade on Nick Arbuckle. In fact, I'm not even sure he's as good. I'm sorry. I don't believe that the Eskimos are going to beat anyone right now. So I have to pick Montreal, even though they're not playing great either, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Edmonton because Edmonton sucks right now. So I'm going to pick Montreal 44 points.
William?
Edmonton 48.
What? Since when do you pick Edmonton?
I got to catch up, Charles.
Fair enough.
And I don't, and you guys have known in the past, Montreal's always been one of my favorite teams. They're not one
what
of my...
we're made of.
Okay.
CFL, what we're made of.
Who did that?
Not I.
Not me.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Anyway,
Log Duck's
in
weird.
The past, you guys, in the past, you know, Montreal is one of my favorite teams. But, yeah, I'm not supporting Montreal anymore because Danny Machocho fired Kahari Jones.
Kahari.
Danny Machocho is a fucking arrogant piece of shit, and I'm not going to cheer for Montreal anymore. There you go.
I respect that. I think the stat is like 80% of teams win their next game after they fire their coach.
Yep.
You know that? It's weird.
If the coach is terrible and Kahari Jones wasn't anywhere close to terrible.
No, but I think he was too soft, and I don't disagree with that. He's a nice guy. I like him. He's a friend. I know him personally. He's a nice guy. I hope he surfaces somewhere quickly. I think he's going to end up being the coach in Toronto. They got to fire Ryan Dinwiddie.
Oh, and the other thing, and I don't think he's gotten that much more experience, but they haven't named him offensive coordinator, but Anthony Calvillo is calling all the offensive plays. Okay? That has not gone good, and the only training he's got is he worked for the University of Montreal for a season. So, I'm just saying.
You've got some good arguments. There's some good points there, Will. I'm taking Edmonton at 42.
Oh, you fuck.
I was going to pick Edmonton no matter what, but that's beside the point.
Okay.
And 42 is my number. So you're going to catch up to Charles.
I'm still good with that.
You're going to catch up to either one of us, right? Because I'm not picking the same as Charles. I gotta get some distance in there, or he's going to catch me, one or the other. The second game is Calgary and Winnipeg. Let's see what the Bodog says. Winnipeg by 3.5, over under at 47. Four of them pick Winnipeg, two pick Calgary. It's a tough one. Is Winnipeg that powerful? Are they that dominant? I don't think they are. I'm definitely going to take Calgary in this one. Charles, what are you going to do?
You know what? This is a strong one, but quite frankly, the Bombers just look like a well-oiled machine right now, and they've looked better than Calgary has. Not counting last week's game against Edmonton, but the Bombers haven't played Edmonton yet, so I'd like to see what happens when they do. It could be pretty ugly there, but you know what? Right now, until someone shows that they're going to beat Winnipeg, I have to go with Winnipeg. I just think they're that strong right now, so I'm picking Winnipeg to win 47 points.
You're taking Winnipeg at 47? Okay, hang on a second here. And William, you're back with us here, buddy. What are you going to take?
Yeah, you know what? I'll never pick against Calgary. So Calgary 72.
72?
Yep.
It's going to be a high-scoring game.
I don't have a Rudy score. We're taking Calgary at 42. I'm taking the Stampeders. I'm going with 42 points. The next one up is Saskatchewan, and we've got four of the experts picking Saskatchewan. We got two picking Toronto. Bodog has Saskatchewan by 3. with an over under of 45. CFL pick'ems take in Saskatchewan at 83%. Charles?
It's a Westgate and East team, and Toronto haven't showed me anything that lets me think that they're going to snap out and win. So I'm sorry, I'm going with the Western team over the Eastern team. Until the Eastern team can start winning consistently, I'm just going to have to do that. Because, quite frankly, it's been not just – they haven't even really, for the most part, been just that the Western team, they've been beating the Eastern team. They've been clobbering them. Now, there is one infection there. Saskatchewan has already lost to an Eastern team. I just don't think that's going to happen again, not in this case. I'm going to go with Saskatchewan in this one, 40 points.
Okay. William.
Toronto, 46.
And I will take Saskatchewan on this one, 42. Now
and
I gotta go
in the
shower because I feel really dirty.
I feel very, very dirty. If in my opinion, if Toronto loses this game, Dinwiddie is out.
He should be. The final game is Ottawa Red Blacks into Hamilton to play the Tiger Cats. This is unanimous by the experts at Hamilton winning. Modog has Hamilton by 7 points, over under at 44.5. CFL Pick'em's taking Hamilton 75%. This is Nick Arbuckle. Is he going to be playing this game? I don't know. But they don't have a quarterback. Charles.
Well, last week we had the battle of the undefeated teams in BC and Winnipeg. This week we've got the battle of the winless teams between Hamilton and Ottawa.
But there's other
quite frankly,
winless teams.
What's that?
There is another
true,
winless
but both
team.
True, but both of these teams are winless. You got to think one of them is probably going to be at least have one win unless they end up tying or something. Who knows? But wouldn't that be the ultimate slap in the face to the Eastern Conference? But, no, I think Hamilton's going to win this one. I just don't think that Ottawa after last week, even if Arbuckle is playing, I still don't give them much of a chance in this one. Hamilton's a better team, and I still think Hamilton's a better team than the record shows. That they've had a couple of games that they probably should have won that they kind of gave away. So I'm going to take Hamilton to finally win a game, and I think they're going to win it, and I'll say 50 points.
Okay, William? You can't win it all back in 1 week.
Yes, I fucking can. Ottawa, 44.
Sucker. CJ's taking Hamilton at 42. It ain't broken. I'm not fixing it.
Yeah, but you see, I just can't. I mean, both Ottawa and Hamilton, I think, suck. And Dean Evans hasn't played well. And Ottawa doesn't have a quarterback. And
so a poor Dane Evans has got to be better than nobody.
Well, not necessarily. If Hamilton's defense doesn't come up, because they haven't come up this year, okay. So, I mean, I think I have as good of a chance as you guys do. You know. I think it's 50-50.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing.
And I mean, I'll go out on a limb here because, like, there's no punishment if I don't win this thing. Okay.
No, there's not.
I don't lose money. Nobody beats me up. So hey, what the heck?
Are you not entertained? Yes, 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 yes. Quite frankly, that's. Okay. So now I'm going to go back to my other question that I had said a little more. Do you want to do this talk about one division since that's what we've been doing so much here? Let's have that conversation right now. Why should we go to one division? Come on, Will.
Who's going first? Are you asking me that question?
I am. You wanted this to go to one division. You take the pros and I'll go with the cons.
Why should we go with one division? Because the Eastern teams suck. And there's no reason, and we've had this conversation numerous times, there's no reason for the Eastern teams to get better. Because they always suck, and they always make the playoffs, and when they play Calgary in the Grey Cup, they always win. Okay? So, I can't think of any other reason other than they suck. And yeah, maybe it'll alienate some Eastern fans, but I think there's only 15 Eastern fans anyway. So, you know, what I think should happen is if we get a 10th team, they should make Winnipeg,
yeah,
put Winnipeg back in the East, okay? Because then it made it at least competitive in the Grey Cup, you know
they
what
did,
I mean?
Because everybody else had to at least try to keep up with them. Because Winnipeg,
yep,
and Montreal were both back there when they were both good teams.
Yep, that is true.
It made some for exciting football. I'm not going to argue with that. There's no disputing that. Okay, Charles, why are we going to one division?
Well, kind of like Wolf says, because the way they're doing it right now, there is no real incentive for any Eastern team to get better because, quite frankly, the top two teams in the East, no matter what their record are going to make the playoffs. One of them is going to get home field advantage, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, they could have a 5-13
season. Both of them are going to get home,
yeah,
field.
And that's why I've always said with the crossover, if they have a better record than the second place team, should get home field advantage. Why should you not get it when you have a worse record? It doesn't make sense to me. But it's ridiculous. They don't have the incentive because, like I said, two of the teams are going to make the playoffs. You just got to be top two out of bad four. That's not that difficult to do. You can kind of back into it that way. But it's kind of ridiculous. If you do have it where it's one division, suddenly those teams are not guaranteed any kind of playoff spot. If they're at the bottom every year, they don't make the playoffs. You've got to give franchises the reason, incentive to spend some money and to get better. Because if you don't, they're just going to sit there lollygagging like they always are, and you're going to get one team at 7-11, another team at 6-12. They'll be the top two teams in that division. Like you said, they're both going to get home field advantage in the playoffs against a team that might be 11-7 or something like that. How does that make any sense? You got to do it now. Put them in one division. Top six teams make it. So you actually have to be a competitive team to make the playoffs because the way it is right now, there's no incentive and you're getting loser teams that are making the playoffs. And, yeah, they might get hot and win the Grey Cup. But, hey, I mean, have you really accomplished much if you're a 6-12 team and you back your way to a Grey Cup?
Ask Marcus Crandall.
Well, that's true.
He accomplished something. So,
mm-hmm,
okay, I understand and appreciate your guys' point of view. and I'm not going to dispute them because there really isn't any. But the downside of this one division theory that you have, and a lot of people do, is that the majority of the fans in Canada that watch football are in Eastern Canada. If the Eastern teams are not in the playoffs and they're not competitive, which they haven't been, TSN is going to lose viewership for the big games. And I understand that a fan is a fan is a fan, and that if you're, regardless of whether or not it's your team, you should be watching football. But the reality of that is it's not. It's not. You watch your own team more than you watch everybody. We watch every game in the CFL season because we're podcasters. We have to talk about these games. We have to watch them. We have to try to watch every single game. A lot of people out there only watch their own team, and you can tell that by the comments that they make in the on the Let's Talk group. So if TSN starts to lose revenue, TSN can no longer afford to sponsor and subsidize the CFL to the point that they do. The CFL isn't getting the revenue. They're not getting the gate. They're not getting the TV revenue. They're in financial difficulties. That's the argument against one division. And it's valid. Okay? I'm not saying that it trumps your suggestion. I'm just saying it's valid. Now, I have a suggestion for you both. Let's leave the two divisions the way that they are. And let's have a modified crossover. Okay? If there's going to be a crossover from the west to the east, or from the east to the west, it's the second place team crosses over. So as it stands right now, if this was the playoffs, Winnipeg would have a bye in the Western Division, Calgary would cross over to the East and have a bye because they are the higher ranked team in the division. And then they would play Toronto, and Montreal and Toronto would play, and the winner would play Calgary in Calgary. And then the winner of that would go to the Grey Cup. So the next team, the third place team in the West would move up to the second. And the fourth would move up to the third. Okay? So the third place team in the West would then get a home playoff game. So instead of the bottom team crossing over, the number two team crosses over. What's your thoughts on this? Charles, go ahead.
Works for me. Go ahead, Charles.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
I said, you know what? That's fine. That works for me, too. I mean, any variation from what it is right now, there has to be some change because it's pathetic the way it is. And, yeah, that might equal things out for a little bit. Sure. I'm good with that. Go ahead, Charles.
I mean, you still have two Eastern teams in the playoffs. They do lose a home playoff game because, you know, they're not going to be as strong. And if they are strong, and let's just say that there was one team in the East that has got the highest, more points than the second-place team in the West, then the Eastern team gets the home playoff game. It's whoever's got the most points, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's just not automatic. We're not going to assume that, but at this point in time, it would be because Toronto and Montreal both only have one win.
Yep.
Calgary's already got four.
Yep.
Okay. Charles, what's your thoughts?
Well, I kind of like that idea because it goes back to the reasoning that you give the higher placed team, the team with the better record, home field. So
yes,
in a situation like that, would the second place team then Would they get the bye then if they had the better record than the Eastern
yes.
team? Okay.
Yes.
See, I actually like that idea because I hate it when a team with a worse record holds home field advantage in a playoff game against a team that has the better record. It's at that point you think, what's my incentive for playing well in the regular season if we're going to have a road game against a team that didn't win as many games as us? So, yeah, I like that idea, actually. You cross that over. They get the bye. You're still going to have one playoff game, at least in the East, because the first-place team would still host the semifinal. I don't mind that. That
yeah.
actually makes a lot of sense. Of course, if you post that on our talk group, you'll be called every name in the book saying, why do you want to change the CFL, blah, blah, blah. But it makes sense to me.
Okay, but hang on. We are just assuming that the second-place East-Western team is going to be higher than the first-place Eastern team.
Yeah,
there are a lot of times where that does not happen.
No, that's true.
It's not necessarily. So the crossover team may not get a home field advantage. They would get home field possibly being the second-place team, so they would
right.
host the semifinals. Because the odds are they would host the semifinal.
Yeah.
So they would still get that home field. They wouldn't get the bye, but they wouldn't have got the bye in the West anyhow.
Right.
So
I actually think that makes sense.
I like this idea. I came up with it a couple of years ago, and I got crucified. But it might get some traction this time. Because it's looking really pathetic in the East right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything to add to this idea, Will, or anything you want?
Well, yeah,
I got
an even better idea. Why don't we do this? Just to even the playing field out, okay, if a Eastern team plays a Western team and the Western team has a way better record than the Eastern team, why don't we give the Eastern team an advantage? And the advantage we'll give them so they have a better chance of winning is don't let them use kickers.
I was going to say, why don't we switch quarterbacks?
Sure.
Okay.
Why don't we have one quarterback for both teams? Kind of like when you're a kid and, you know, the good guy, the guy who played well, played quarterback for both teams. So the other team didn't have an advantage, remember?
I've done that, yeah.
Yeah, us too. I have nothing. I have nothing. Yeah. I like your idea, though. I really do.
There's lots of cheap-ass ideas on this one. But I think that one holds a little bit of merit. I mean, a Western team is still going to cross over. It might as well be somebody who is competitive. Why should the West kick the shit out of each other and send the remnants to the Grey Cup?
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of my philosophy
on that
one.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
How dare you try to change the CFL rules?
I know. Actually, I'm not trying to change the rules. I'm trying to modify them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was purporting a crossover when one did not exist, then I would be changing
mm-hmm.
the rules. But the crossover is there, so I'm just really kind of modifying it. I'm tweaking it a little bit to making it more fair to the teams. Because right now I don't think the crossover rule is fair. We're sending the fourth place team over to the East to be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it only been four times that the Western team has won the semifinals over there?
It has not happened much.
I think BC's done it twice, actually, and I think it's only happened four or five times.
I think they beat Hamilton, I know, once, and I think they beat Hamilton
Montreal.
Twice, to be honest. Oh, maybe it was Montreal.
I don't know. I think they beat Montreal. And then Toronto beat them. Okay, so we're going to go into a little bit of a talk on a gentleman, a defensive lineman by the name of Garrett Marino. Now, Garrett Marino is a thug. I don't know what else to call him. He got kicked out of his university. He had to go to another university. He was just an obnoxious, racist, dirty player since he was in high school. And it didn't change when he came into the CFL. He's played 12 games. He's been kicked out of two of them. He's been fined. He's now suspended. His debut in the CFL is not a good one. So with 5 minutes left in the game in Ottawa, actually, we'll go back a little bit. There was about 7 or 8 minutes left in the game. And he tackled one of the Red Blacks and got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty, I believe. And then Boyd from Ottawa tackled Peterson, he's their star defensive tackle, isn't he?
Yep.
Pushed him down. He was taken out of the play, and then he was pounded into the ground, and he broke his ankle, which I don't know how he broke his ankle from being pushed in the shoulders, but I think that may have happened first. Beside the point, and I don't know if there was a penalty on that one. I don't remember. But so the defense of Saskatchewan was pissed off that they lost their all-star. So Marino took it upon himself to go out and what's his job? He's going to go sack the quarterback. But he came in on a late hit, and he came in low. Now, he was pushed from behind, and he extended out, but he still wrapped up Mazzoli and broke his leg. Is that correct? Broke his leg?
Yes, broken bone.
That's what I heard. He's got a broken bone.
It wasn't a ligament.
No, it wasn't a ligament. But I'll tell you what. Do you know when a horse breaks its leg? It usually gets shot, right? Because
yep.
There's really not much they can do about it. Well, I had a stallion once that broke his leg, broke his shin, snapped it right in half. And the surgeon, because we had it fixed and it cost me $30,000, the surgeon said, we have a catastrophic soft tissue injury with a broken bone. We can fix the bone, no problems. It's whether or not he's going to survive the soft tissue. And he did, and he came back, and he made me another $100,000. So I'm really kind of happy about that. I didn't lose money. But point being is that a broken bone will heal. It's the damage that's around it. Now, yes, they're saying that there's no ligament damage at this time, but we don't know what the long-term consequences are going to be. Jeremiah Mazzoli is 33 years old. He's out for 10 to 12 weeks. This is week 6. There is only 21 weeks. So that means that if he's lucky, he's coming back in week 17. Okay? How is that going to help the Ottawa Red Blacks? How is that going to help Jeremiah Mazzoli? He's coming back without a training camp, without a preseason, after rehab at 33 years old. I think he's done for the season, and this could be the end of his career. So, because of this, Garrett Marino received an expulsion from the game, a 25-yard penalty, and supplemental disciplinary action. He received a 2-game suspension for this. But that's not it. I have never heard of this before, but the league took it upon themselves to issue an additional one-game suspension for a play that happened three plays for a something that happened three plays earlier, another dirty hit. He got another game suspension, and he got a game suspension for uttering racial slurs. Now, everybody says, well, he's not racist. He's got a black girlfriend, and he's with a bunch of black friends, and he's black this and black. It's not about blacks. He didn't insult a black man. He insulted a Samoan. He was making Hawaiian jokes. He was trashing Jeremiah Mazzoli's heritage. Jeremiah Mazzoli's not a black man. He's Hawaiian. He's Samoan. So that doesn't fly with me. Now, last year, one of the league officials made an off-color joke that had racial implications in it, and he was fired. He was suspended for a year, and he never came back. Now, this was not a player, so, and it was actually somebody in the league office. But I don't understand why this man still has a job. He went off the field doing those wrestling maneuvers where he's cheering on the crowd, saying, look at me, I'm wonderful, I'm awesome, as Jeremiah Mazzoli lay on the ground injured. He's off roaring up the crowd. Now, the crowd was cheering. Now, at the time, people are saying, well, he was cheering Marino as he's leaving, and other people are saying, well, we're cheering that Jeremiah Mazzoli was getting up, and which I agree both probably happened. But here's the problem that I have out of this. First off, Garrett Marino has not yet apologized. Craig Dickinson, the coach of
he actually did today.
Did he today?
Yeah.
He apologized.
I know the club did.
Yes, he did.
I know the club did. I didn't hear that Marino
did. Too. Yeah, he did too.
Yes, he did.
Okay, but what is this? This is Wednesday. That happened on when? Friday? It's almost a week later?
Yep.
Yeah, no. That's almost forced. Somebody made him do it.
Yep.
I think so.
Craig Dickinson has, who is the coach? And he knew that his defense was riled up. His responsibility at that point in time is to tell his players that there will be no retaliation for Peterson's injury. If he does not do that, he's an accomplice. He is an accomplice to this act. I believe Craig Dickinson should have been fined. I believe the Saskatchewan Rough Riders organization should be fined. It is not strictly on Marino. You want bad behavior in the league to end, which we've been talking about forever and ever and ever? It's time to start fining the coach and the team. Saskatchewan Rough Riders finally apologized today and said that that kind of behavior does not represent this team.
Bullshit.
Yet the man is still a member of the team.
That's correct.
If he doesn't, if the player does not represent my, if I have an employee, and while that employee is working for me, he is representing me, and if he goes off and does something that I don't approve of, I'm going to fire his ass. If he does something to make my company look bad, I'm going to fire his ass.
I guarantee you, if that was a Calgary player, he would not be on the Calgary Stampeders anymore.
No, he'd been long gone.
Hang on. I posted on Let's Talk CFL. I said if this happened, if he was a member of the Calgary Stampeders and he did this, he would have been released. Huff would have released him before he got out of the shower.
Yeah.
Okay. But that but it's a completely moot point because John Huffnagel would have never had an animal like that on his team.
True that.
Okay. And I truly believe that, and I posted it. So only a team like Saskatchewan would have somebody like this on the team, and only a team like Saskatchewan would keep a player like this on their team after he did this. And people ask me why I hate the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. This is it. They don't care about the rules of the league. They don't care about the morals, the ethics. They don't care about anything but themselves. I have no use for the team. I have no use for the organization. And I have no use for the majority of the fans. And I know some really good Rider fans. And there's some good Rider fans out there, and I call them my friends. But they're embarrassed about what's happened, and they're embarrassed about their team. So you have to give them kudos for that. I'm going to open this up. Charles, what's your thoughts?
The guy should be out of the league. The guy's a clown. The guy's an idiot. I don't care if he apologizes 6 days later or whatever it is. Why was there not an apology on Saturday, on Sunday, on Monday? He's not sorry that he did it. He's sorry he got punished for it. I mean, come on, man. The guy, yeah, he got a little shove from behind. He was going for Mazzoli's lower leg. That was blatantly obvious in my view. And to sit there and spew out racial slurs, why is this guy still in this league? Remember the whole thing about the CFL with diversity and stuff like that and trying to be inclusive for people? Well, this guy's not inclusive. This guy's spreading hate. The guy's saying racially motivated, racially insensitive things. And nothing says diversity like having a racist on your football, one of your football teams. Sorry, I don't know if he's completely racist, but I'm sorry. You've got racist tendencies if you're going out hitting people with racial slurs. Just to go off and showboat while the guy's still down on the leg, laying down on the field, injured, and you're going out and you're showboating as they're walking you off the field because they just kicked you out of the game. The guy's a moron. I'm sorry, and I don't think he has any place in the CFL anymore. I think the guy's an idiot. And I think the Riders should bring the hammer down on him and release him.
One thing I want to add here about the Saskatchewan organization and why I just dislike them, they have a side-by-side to haul off their players when they're injured. Did they take that over to Jeremiah Mazzoli when he was laying on the field? No. The Ottawa Red Blacks players had to lift him up and carry him off the field.
That's true.
That's despicable. William, your turn, buddy.
Yeah, you know, and don't take this the wrong way, guys. I don't condone anything he did, especially the racist stuff. You guys know I'm an Alberta redneck, but I don't agree with anything like that. Okay, it's not in this day and age. It's just not something that should ever happen. Okay, absolutely. You can, you know, I'm okay with them talking about each other's wives and stuff like that, but as far as the race stuff goes, yeah, no, I don't think so. I'll take your side and say that he intentionally did that to injure him, but I don't think it was that bad in my opinion. Okay, not that he did it to hurt him, but I don't know if it was totally intentional. Okay. Just saying.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hang on just for a second here.
Okay.
I agree with you. It was a bang bang football play.
Yeah.
Okay. And in bang-bang football play, shit happens and shit goes south and people get hurt. It's a contact sport, and that's why girls don't play it. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. And I don't necessarily – there was intent there. That was a bad play. He shouldn't have done that. He got suspended for it, just like Simone Lawrence has been suspended, just like Jason Jimenez has been suspended. People get suspended for that. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. Okay? Serve your suspension and come back. But when you start uttering racial slurs, you get suspended for two plays in one game?
Yeah, I agree.
And you've been ejected from another game within the first 12? This guy's a goon.
Well,
and
but and I
if we if we leave him in there, is he going to kill somebody?
I don't necessarily know if he's as much of a if he is a racist. For example, I don't know how his other teammates, you know, appear to him, and you know the atmosphere in the locker room is everything. So maybe eventually they're going to force him out. Who knows? But like I said, there are certain organizations, and like we talked before, Calgary was one of them. That guy wouldn't have, I don't even know if that guy would have made it on the plane Sunday night or Saturday night, okay?
No.
I mean, they would have cut him that fast.
They're trying to find his own way home.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, so.
I know the BC Lions under Wally Buono would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I can't say that now because I don't know this administration, but I have this feeling that it would be the same situation.
I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of organizations would do it. I think the Bombers would do it as well. Okay, because I think most of the organizations are pretty clean. But I mean, if you look at the past history of certain players in Saskatchewan that never got suspended because of things or alleged things. Okay? It's the way they are. So.
Yeah, I can't even go back. I remember the two guys that got in the fight in the bar, and they went out in the street and they shit kicked the guy, and they both got charged with assault. And Saskatchewan said, that's okay, you can play in the Grey Cup. Oh, look, we won. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I remember the guy's something name. About that.
Anyhow, I've been saying the writers are immorally, you have no morals, no ethics, period. They're bankrupt in that capacity.
Well, And if some fans were cheering that he did that, well, fuck you, okay? But I know, and we always talk about this, there are good fans in Saskatchewan. Tony Dangenet is one of them, okay? And I have been 100%. talking to, oh my God, what's his name? Oh, shit.
Morgan,
yes. I've been talking to Morgan about this thing, and he thought it was absolutely disgusting. And this is a 20-something-year-old kid who's probably easily led by people, but he thought it was despicable. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So, it's always been my understanding that the CFL, the CFLPA, the Constitution, the CBA, somewhere in there was a comment or something that says the maximum penalty that you can have, maximum suspension time was 2 games. That was always my belief. Today I found out that I'm wrong. And there is no maximum suspension. The commissioner has the right to ban somebody from the CFL for life.
Oh, wow.
The remainder of the season, whatever it is. There is no limitation
to
the amount of games that they can suspend them.
So there's hope for me, and there's hope for me that Randy Ambrosi will ban kickers for life. Is that what you're telling me?
Possible. It's possible.
Okay, good.
So I don't remember the guy's name. I think his last name was Edwards. Toronto Argonaut last year got into an altercation with Hamilton Tiger Cat fans on the concourse level. Do you remember this?
Right.
Yep. Yeah,
I think it was
the playoff game.
Eastern Finals game.
Yep.
Right? Okay. He received a 6-game suspension. I don't remember that happening. And that would have been in the off season. I don't know whether or not that actually got any publicity.
They reduced it.
And then he appealed it, and it was reduced to 3 games.
Yeah.
So that was the most that any person had been suspended in the CFL. Marino just got a 4-game suspension. They're supposed to be running concurrently, not concurrently, consequentially. So he got 2-game suspension for the hit on Mazzoli. He got a 1-game suspension for a hit on another person. And he got a 1-game suspension for uttering a racial slur. Personally, I think he should have got kicked out of the fucking league for the racial slur. Okay?
Yeah.
If the league had the ability to suspend him for 1 game, they had the ability to suspend him for 20 games. So you can't suspend somebody on circumstantial evidence. They had to have people there who said, yes, I heard him say this. And it wouldn't be one person. It had to have been many people. So there was enough evidence for that one. To me, that's the bad one. As Will said, it was a bang-bang football play. Mazzoli got hurt. I'm sorry. It's contact sports. It's football. Suspend him for 2 games. I think he'll get that one on appeal. I don't know if he'll get both. He'll get 1 game on that one. The other game will stay, and he will keep the 1 game on the racial slur. But he should have been 5 games, 10 games, 20 games, the rest of his life. I don't give a shit. 1 game on the racial slur was not enough. Not with if we say diversity is strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If that's the motto of this league, then prove it.
Yeah.
And if you think
this
about our
right
whole,
in the face of that.
If you think about Canada in general, we're a pretty diversified kind of country, and the people who watch this are all nationalities, and there is no place for this in the CFL.
No,
ever.
I agree. I mean, just watch the commercials on TSN. There's no white people in there. They're marketing to all different ethnic groups, okay?
Ethnic and other groups, right?
And other groups. The LBGQB4A.
Whatever. That one.
Yeah.
The alphabet, I call them, okay?
The alphabet people.
The alphabet people.
Wasn't that from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or something?
I don't know.
The alphabet people.
Anyhow. Didn't the little midget guys, what were they called? The Oompa Loompas?
Those guys were called Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas sang a song about the alphabet. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. So, anything else you want to say about this moron Garrett Marino?
Nah, we've wasted a lot of time on this.
Yeah, but we needed to. It was a big
event.
He's
a fucking idiot. He's a football player who's probably had his head whacked too many times, okay? And he thinks he's somebody. And it's like you're a defensive lineman in the CFL. And if you weren't in the CFL, you'd probably be working at Walmart. So and I apologize to any Walmart people I offended by that statement. But, like, you're an idiot, buddy. So...
You know what would be icing on the cake right now?
What's that?
Would be for him to test positive. Get caught juicing. wouldn't that just be poetic? Okay. We're going to move on from Garrett Marino, okay?
Yeah. Well, one question. Before we do that, I just got one question. Do you think when he comes back after his four-game suspension is over and he comes back and, let's say, he goes back into the lineup, does anyone try retribution on him?
They do not play Ottawa again this year. They only play Ottawa
once. Don't. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Ottawa.
Does that mean
other people, other
players? But there were a lot of
league.
Other players that were pissed off at that.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, any offensive lineman out there knows that it's his job to protect the quarterback.
Yep.
And if you get this type of pond scum coming at your quarterback and he's got a history of terminating quarterbacks, you're going to do him. You're going to do him bad. Okay? And you'll take a 15-yarder for it. He's marked.
Could be, yep.
And to say anything else is just wrong. I mean, he might as well just not come back. Wouldn't he fit more in the XFL or something like that? I don't know. Okay, moving on. The Ottawa Redblacks have acquired quarterback Nick Arbuckle. Well, we just talked about them losing their quarterback, Jeremiah Mazzoli. So they needed a quarterback, so they went and got Nick Arbuckle from the Edmonton Elks in exchange for a bag of hammer handles. Is Nick Arbuckle going to do something in Ottawa? Well, I think Ottawa was the best team in the East. I'm not a huge fan of Paul Appelese, but I respect him as an offensive coordinator. I think he's going to do good things. Nick Arbuckle is going to be more successful in Ottawa than he ever would have been in Edmonton.
Okay, so here's a perfect example in my mind of a guy being anointed too early. Okay, so he was in Calgary. He was in Calgary for 2 years. Okay, but before he was in Calgary for 2 years, he got cut for 2 years. He was cut twice in Calgary.
Yep.
And the only reason he made Calgary's team in his third attempt was because Andrew Buckley retired. And he was the next one. And then he got to play games when Bo Levi Mitchell got hurt, and he played, I think he started five games and played in a sixth, and he won most of them. And then all of a sudden, he's a starting quarterback for another team because they gave him big bucks.
Toronto.
And
he went to Toronto.
Toronto, but then he got traded to Ottawa. Okay? Or sorry, he signed with Ottawa, then he got traded to Toronto. And
right.
Toronto took, what's his face, from Winnipeg? Nichols.
Matt Nichols.
So, Matt Nichols. And then
Matt Nichols went to Ottawa.
Then he went from Toronto to Edmonton. And now he's gone from Edmonton to Ottawa. Wow.
Back to Ottawa.
So, is he a career backup? Is he a starter? Once again, Will's most favorite asked question: is it the system or is it the player?
Sometimes it can be both.
Yeah, sure it can.
But Nick Arbuckle has not found really any success since leaving Calgary.
No, he has not. And so in reality, maybe Dave Dickinson is a quarterback whisperer because he had Ryan Dinwiddie in Toronto, and Ryan Dinwiddie traded him. So, and I'm sure Ryan Dinwiddie was the guy who pushed for him to go to Toronto. So,
but that doesn't mean Dinwiddie traded him.
True that.
He's the coach, not the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, Nick Arbuckle was the starting quarterback in the only meaningful game Winnipeg has lost in the last 2 years.
That's true.
That's correct.
That's true.
So,
yeah. As a Toronto Argonaut, he beat Winnipeg Blue Bombers early in the season last year.
Yep.
I think he's going to do okay in Ottawa.
Hey,
he
going to
be right away? No.
I hope he's successful because I actually like the guy. I like the guy as a player, and I wish he was successful.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think he's going to do okay in Ottawa. I think Ottawa's going to be okay. I still think Ottawa is the strength of the Eastern Division, as sad as that is. I don't think this next couple... Go ahead, Charles.
I just can say, can they be with Arbuckle as quarterback?
Well, they didn't win any games with Jeremiah Mazzoli, so...
Fair enough.
Right?
True story. And you know, they are, what, 4-0? Or, sorry, 0-4 right now?
Yep.
They are 2 points out of first place.
Yep. Oh, don't get me started on the East again, please.
They are 2 points out of first place. That is sad. They are 4 points away from a
bye. Pathetic. Why do these coaches still have jobs?
Well, Kahari Jones does not.
Yeah, but that's the guy who should still have a job.
He's the only one there that should still have a job. Actually, I don't think you can blame this on Orlando Steinauer, but maybe not.
He's one of the
least talked about people right now.
Oh, baby, he had a good team the last 2 years, and it's turned to shit. So
you can't blame that on a coach.
They lose this week. They could find them. If they lose this week, he could find himself on the chopping block.
I don't know if they would fire an Orlando Steinauer. I think he's kind of like Mike O'Shea in Winnipeg. They're going to give him enough rope to hang himself, and it's going to take five or six or seven years.
He took him to the Grey Cup 2 years in a row.
Yeah, he did. He did.
You know, he hasn't finished, but, you know, he lost some key components last year, and what did his GM get him back?
Yep. You're right.
You know? It's hard to be successful when you're not given the right players.
Sure.
But Paul Appelese in Ottawa, they lose another game. Well, is he in the hot seat?
I don't think so. I think Ottawa is going to do the same thing. I think Ottawa is going to do the same thing Winnipeg did. They're going to stretch it out. Because once again, I mean, you can see in the past, firing the coach all the time is not necessarily the answer.
It's not.
Okay.
But what would you change in Ottawa?
Teams do it symbolically so they show the fans they're trying to do something.
Yeah, that's correct, Charles. That's what they do, because you can't fire all 58 players or 52 players.
Yep.
So
52 players.
I just don't think Ottawa got good enough over the offseason. I mean, they did improve their quarterback somewhat, but I've never been a Mazzoli fan. Okay? They did improve their offensive line significantly, but a lot of those guys are hurt now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Now.
Yeah. UCam from Calgary, he's a great offensive lineman. I think he played two games, and now he's hurt for a while. So, you know. So, yeah, I think you got to give LaPolice another year.
The only thing that I would do would be to force him to hire an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's always been your pet peeve. I know that.
He's a rookie head coach, or at least was last year. Or is he this year?
No, last year.
Rookie, because he hasn't done it in 10 years.
Right.
Make him concentrate on being a head coach. Why is he concentrating on being an offensive coordinator?
Well,
he can't wear two hats.
Is what he likes.
Even the best can't wear two hats, and he's not one of the best. It needs to happen. Even Dickinson in Calgary finally admitted to it and got an offensive coordinator. Okay, moving on. Why the fuck is this even here, Charles?
What is
not
it?
A slow news day. Toronto Argonauts linebacker Enoch Mwamba absolutely envisions the CFL team in Atlantic Canada.
Who cares?
He's a fucking football player. He can't envision anything.
Wait, it gets better. If you've listened to the Waggle once this year... This guy's an idiot. He's an idiot because he's the permanent guest coach or guest host on the Waggle now. And
Enoch Mwamba?
Yes. How is that possible? Well, it's possible. Him and the other guy on the Waggle, I can't remember his name. Like, it's. I'm sorry. I can't. I've listened to it two or three. It's like Dumb and Dumber. Okay? It's pathetic.
I actually haven't listened to the Waggle since Bowski and Sanchez were on it.
Correct. And neither
That's
one
when
of them
it was
were
good.
On it anymore.
It was good.
Absolutely.
It was
I used
good.
To always listen to it. I used to always listen to it. And now you got Enoch Mwamba, who's a... Fuck. Just don't even get me going. It's ruined the show in my mind. How can a football player on the Toronto Argonauts be open-minded about other teams and talk about it on the radio? I'm telling you.
What?
And the scariest thing is, Enoch Mwamba thinks he's smart.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, let's go over here because we're not going to talk about this. Charles, you want to talk about Enoch Mwamba?
I don't care.
Diversity is strength in the CFL thing here. It's important. It's important. Okay. Oh, look. Look at this. There's an article on CFL.ca, and the headline says, CFLPA committed to zero tolerance on racial discrimination. It's not a big article. The CFL and the CFLPA released the following joint statement, that the two organizations jointly committed to a policy of zero tolerance of any form of racism or racial discrimination and signified their commitment in writing during the last round of the collective bargaining. We have agreed to strengthen our commitment with urgency by agreeing to further define and agree on all issues arising from the joint commitment so both the CFL and the CFLPA and through them the entire professional Canadian Football League community will have clarity and certainty moving forward. That was released today.
Well, this racial slur gets you one game.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of the comments.
That sounds like zero tolerance.
They better define zero tolerance, as recent actions sound like it's much tolerance. I'm confused. Zero tolerance means none. Sorry, saying zero and not having zero means you are tolerant to some of your some or all discrimination. Oh, my God. Okay, I don't know how that can happen, but I was actually looking for something on there, and I don't know what it was now. Oh, yeah, I'm looking for their power rankings because it's pretty important. They're not important. They're power rankings. This and that, that and this and that. Load more. Where are they? Do you have them? I want to compare the power rankings of the league to Sparky's.
The league power rankings.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can't find those.
Or should we just compare them to Belton Johnson's? Because they're
do it that way,
funny.
Too.
I like Belton Johnson's power rankings. They're always funny. Saskatchewan's at the top. Why is that? How is that possible? Rudy, what do you want? You just posted something. What did he have to say?
He probably put his picks in. No, maybe not.
No, he didn't. Not yet. I'm sure he will. He just wanted to find out what we were going to do. Maybe we should have the thing that he has to put them in before the beginning of the show instead of before the end of the show. Actually, can we just end the show right now and he can't get them in?
Only got 8 minutes.
Them. Where are they? I know.
Let's see.
I can't find the power rankings.
I know. I'm going to use the search engine. That might work.
Maybe they haven't done them yet.
No, I sure have seen them.
Is that possible? Well, let's go over to Let's Talk CFL and see if they have them there, because Let's Talk CFL has everything, because it's the best CFL group there is. And I don't remember seeing them. Did you see the announcement from the Riders? Brilliant comeback, Rudy. You got me. What did Rudy say?
I don't know. They're talking about something.
I don't think there's power rankings
on anything. Yeah, I've seen a couple of power rankings. I saw Sparky's, and I saw a normal one as well.
Belton's has got his out.
For him. Yeah.
Okay, anyhow, let's talk about Sparky's power rankings because we've only got 6 minutes to go. Sparky has done – he's our statistician, so to speak, for our Let's Talk CFL podcast, Steve Sparksman. And he has put a mathematical formula, which in my opinion still needs tweaking. But no emotion, no bias, no nothing. These are the power rankings for week 5 of the 2022 CFL season. In top spot, we have Winnipeg. Undisputable leader of the CFL, correct? Anybody? Can we argue?
Yep. Nope.
Not a chance.
Okay. Okay, the next one is the Calgary Stampeders. Can't do that. The two undefeated teams are at the top. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sparky's thing has Saskatchewan in third place. I personally would still have BC there.
Me too.
And Saskatchewan lost to Montreal. BC lost to the best team in the CFL.
Right.
Okay? That's my position. Now, BC got a little shit-kicking, but then Montreal played a number on Saskatchewan, if I remember correctly. It wasn't a close game.
Nope.
He then has – what were you going to say, Will?
I don't know why why Calgary moved ahead of BC when they haven't played each other.
I don't have a problem with that. They're an undefeated team. They are doing that. I think the strength of Calgary is there. I don't have an issue.
Yeah, well, I do.
I would like to see them play each other. I really do. I want that to happen now.
Well, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. It's not coming soon enough. But, you know, and I appreciate that. But if we have two undefeated teams in the league, which we do, I think they should be the two top teams. Okay? Until somebody puts them in their place, how can we argue with that? Okay?
I agree.
Here's where it gets a little here's where it gets a little sketchy for me. Montreal is next. Now, I think Saskatchewan should be dropped at least one position, if not two. BC should be up one position, and I would almost put Montreal up one position. But let's not say that, okay? Let's just leave it the way it is. I still think flipping Saskatchewan and BC would be valid. In sixth place, he has the Edmonton Elks.
How the hell are they that high?
How do they get higher than Toronto, Ottawa, or Hamilton? Now, I understand that Edmonton hasn't won a game, nor has Ottawa or Hamilton, but Ottawa lost two games to Winnipeg and one to BC. And they were good, close games. They were good, hard-fought games. They were not blowouts by any means. Ottawa could have won any one of those three games, or all three games, for that matter. There's no way in hell that Ottawa is going to be down at the bottom. Now, take into consideration that they lost their quarterback, and that does set them back a little bit, granted, but it doesn't put them down at the bottom of the list. Now, yes, Ottawa and Hamilton are both undefeated, and they're down there at the bottom, but Edmonton is undefeated as well, and they're up much higher. I know Sparky's got some formula on this one. It's sacks, turnovers, points, yards, time of possession, all sorts of things. And quite frankly, I don't know how.
It's so confusing to me. I don't understand.
You know, I'm looking at the stats here that Sparky gave out, and he says that, you know, for Montreal's got 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 right across the board. Edmonton's got 0.75, 0.75, 0.75 right across the board. And then Toronto has 1-1-1-1 right across the board. And then Ottawa, I don't get it. I don't understand his math. I really don't. Okay, whoa, hang on. I think we're running out of time here.
We are.
Blog talk, here we are. Oh, 50 seconds left. We got lots of time here. We can close off the show. This has been Let's Talk CFL podcast episode number 495. I'm your host, Christopher Jones. Sorry about the start on this game, but we did what we had to do, and we got on it. Everything's great. We'll see you next week after four good games this week. Charles, say goodnight.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this weekend's games, and we'll talk to you next week.
And Willie. You say goodnight.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Go, Stamps, go. It's time to continue with your undefeated records.
Hang on. Before we leave, we got 10 seconds left. This is Touchdown Atlantic this week with the Saskatchewan-Toronto game being in Moncton,
yippee.
I think it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yippee. Big deal. Who cares? We're gone.
Bye now.